Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Lee Keys of Evan Real Talk, coming live and direct on this Thursday. We have a whole lot to talk about. My name is Lee, and I'll be your host tonight. But before we jump into the show, I got a thought or a hot take I want to get off my chest right now. I am so happy that the world is kind of sort of reverting back to some form of normalcy. Hopefully this summer we can revert back to living our lives the way we were prior to 2020. And that's my hot take, and that's my thought for the day. Now I'm going to kick it over to Evan. Hey, Evan, what's going on, man? How you doing today?
Good, man. Doing great. Happy to be here. I like that hot take. That's a good one. For my hot take, I think a lot of people in the world need to stop believing other people's opinions as truth just because they might have some sort of credential. And I mean this because of like movie critics. Stop believing movie critics because they are going into that movie with the sole purpose of hating it. And that is my hot take.
All right. Just my man, Keys. What up, bro? How goes it, man? How you doing today?
What's up, bro? What's up? I'm in here. So I got two. You want okay. The more abstract one? You want? So I got one that, look, put it to you like this. This is my hot take. First of all, I think Kong beats Godzilla. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I got Kong winning. I got Kong winning in the third round by TKO. That's my hot take. I know a lot of people are Godzilla fans, but I'm rolling with Kong. So that's my hot take. And my bigger hot take is there's a lot of emphasis on going to the moon and going to Mars and to other planets right now. There's a lot of money being put towards that kind of stuff with SpaceX and everything. But I think what we should be doing is also traveling into the ocean, because the ocean is already super unexplored. We have no idea what's in the ocean. So I think there should be some funding put towards that as well, ocean exploration, and not just planetary exploration. That's my other hot take.
Oh, that's good. That first one was good, man, because I actually saw the movie yesterday, so I won't give it away. But, hey, man, let's jump into it, man. Over the weekend, we had a brand-new heavyweight champion crown. Francis Ngannou knocked off Stipe Miocic to become the new heavyweight champion. We're really not going to jump too much into the fight. You know, it really isn't too much to talk about. Actually, you know, it is something to talk about. Ngannou really did improve. Although we didn't get to see that improvement in his previous fights, evidently an improvement came in his training. Real quick, what was y'all thoughts on the fight? Start with you, Keys.
Start with me? Okay, word. I don't have any feedback, right? No feedback on my audio?
You good.
All right, so the thing is this. So my feedback on the fight was it was hard for me to see what Stipe's what was their game plan going into the fight. I didn't really understand what he was trying to do, so I was definitely stressed watching Stipe when he got in there. Ngannou definitely improved greatly, way more than I thought that he did. Like you said, it was hard for us to see that over the last four fights he had because he hadn't showed any of those skills in those fights. He didn't have to, but this one he definitely did, so big props to him. I think Stipe thought that Ngannou was rocked, and that's why he kind of – you saw him rush him, and that was right before the KO. Stipe kind of rushed in. Either Ngannou was rocked or he thought he had him rocked, and that's why Stipe got caught with the shot. So, but, yeah, Ngannou, big thing with those transitions, big improvement with the transitions. A lot of props to him. Yeah, that's it for me.
What you got, Evan?
No, it was a good fight. I think we all were shocked initially when it started. I think Francis landed quite early with an overhand right, but I think it was partially blocked because everyone was like, damn, okay. You know, he took that pretty clean. Still coming, but that's just, you know, credit to Stipe for being so tough. But everyone, you know, as Keith just mentioned, the improvements he made, the wrestling, takedown defense, all that. It was, honestly, it was a sight to see. I'm so happy it happened. I have no ill will towards Stipe. I just think the heavyweight division needed to move on because, you know, we did Stipe and DC three times back to back to back, and now we're waiting on Jones to make money, to be paid to fight Francis. So who knows what's next for the heavyweight division. But on the fight, I'm very happy. Congrats to Francis, and can't wait to see what's next.
I'm going to go different. I'm kind of mad Stipe lost the fight. I would have rather seen Stipe versus Jones because I think you could actually sell that fight better because you will have the greatest heavyweight champion taking on the greatest light heavyweight champion moving up in his first heavyweight fight. You would have had probably the battle of the GOATs in John Jones' first fight. But it didn't happen. I'm happy for Ngannou. I'm happy to see that he has improved and that he did work on stuff, you know, in his camp that was, you know, that was flawed in the first fight. But moving on, man, who do we think should be next for Ngannou? Do we think it should be Derek Lewis? Do we think it should be John Jones? Or is there somebody else out there you guys got your eye on as far as Ngannou's first title defense?
So I didn't see the Cyril Gane fight. You know Cyril Gane's my boy, but I didn't see his last fight, so I really can't call for him. Plus, people said that it was a boring fight. Whether that was his fault or not, I don't know. But regardless, I didn't see the performance, so I can't really vouch for him at this time. But what's it called? Derek Lewis, I didn't know, was on a four-fight win streak. So, I mean, think about this. The last time he lost was he fought for the belt. Now, how many fights will you usually give guys before they – if you fight for the belt and lose, how many fights do you typically got to win before you get to the belt? I mean, he did get finished, but he's won four fights since then. So I think that's more than enough, honestly, especially with his last win over Blaze, someone that I wanted for the title if Blaze won that fight. So I think he's right there. I don't think he should have to fight again. I think it's Lewis, especially with Jones. I think he's going to price himself out of the fight. And, you know, he wants like 20, 50 million or something, Deontay Wilder purse. That probably is nowhere near reality. So I think we just roll with Derek Lewis and we get that rematch. I think it's going to be a lot better. So I think we go with that one.
I'm going to defend Derek Lewis real quick. His last loss was a fighter going against Daniel Cormier on 30 days notice. And I know me and you were like, I understand Derek Lewis taking the fight, but it hurts him in the long run because if he lost, he was going to have to fight, like we said, two, maybe three, now four fights just to get another opportunity. So, but he's done that. So, hey, Evan, what you think, my man?
To Key's point about Cyril Gane, I can actually – talk on that. I did sit through that fight, and I can tell you guys that it was a sleeper. It was, someone once said on Twitter that there's heavyweight, and then there's guys that just are heavy, and I think Rozenstruik is one of those people. I just think he's a heavy guy. I don't think he's a true heavyweight. Obviously, he's fought with the good heavyweights, and he can hang with them, but regardless on that point, like I mentioned, the fight was the sleeper. Cyril Gane was the only one really pushing the action, but even he didn't really push too much either because Rozenstruik didn't throw anything. He just waited and waited and waited and waited for the counter, but Cyril didn't offer the counter. I don't blame Cyril Gane for going the five rounds. He's 7-0 in MMA. He's 7-0 and already just had his first main event. That's incredible for someone who's that new to MMA. But to the point of him fighting Francis next, it's not going to happen. One, to Key's point, it's too early. We don't know his, you know, don't push him that fast. Give him time. Also, I think this point technically be number one. He trains with Francis. They're actually, and I think there's an interview you guys can find online of them talking about it, how they'll probably not fight each other unless it's good money and for the belt, which obviously with Francis being champion now, I guess it opens the door for that possibility. But on to Derek Lewis, I think Derek Lewis makes the most sense if John Jones says no. If the UFC does not want to pay Jones whatever he wants to fight Francis, then give it to Lewis. I have no problem seeing that rematch. I know it's going to obviously be better than the first fight they had. And why not, give Francis that fight as a title defense? Because then if Lewis wins by miraculous decision, however he does, then I'm sure Jones will jump right in and knock Lewis out, and then Jones is heavyweight champ.
I think if Lewis wins, I don't think the UFC really wants Lewis to win on the business side, because they know the biggest fight will be Ngannou versus Jones. If you listen to our show, everybody knows I'm probably the president of the John Jones fan club. And right now, my man is really disappointing me right now. First of all, you're never going to make boxer money. That's number one. Number two, if they're offering you $8 million, that'll be still your highest payday to date. So what's the issue with $8 million? What's the million with $10 million? That would still be your highest payday to date. You are not going to get back pay for what you have done for the UFC. We understand you may have possibly been underpaid leading up to this fight. That's your own doing. But I would rather see John versus Ngannou after Ngannou versus Lewis. I think Lewis deserves it. He's been fighting heavyweights. Give John more time to get used to his body at heavyweight. Let Lewis actually have a true title shot. I don't think what he did against DC was a true title shot. And I wouldn't mind seeing these two run it back, because up till Izzy versus Romero, and Ngannou versus Lewis was the biggest snooze fest in UFC history, in my opinion. So I don't mind it. Cyril Gane, he probably is maybe two fights away from being in a title picture, maybe one, depending on who they give him next. But I say go with Lewis and then go with Jones. And the only reason I'm saying it in that order, like I said, was I think Lewis deserves it more, and I think John still needs to get used to his body at heavyweight. Me personally, I would actually rather see John in a heavyweight fight before he fights Ngannou. That's just me personally, just to see how he looks, how his body reacts, how he performs, so he can get a better sense of where he at as far as fighting that heavyweight. But look, man, Ngannou, man, hey, if he looks the way he looks against Stipe, against Lewis, and he comes out there patient and deliberate, I think we definitely get 1,000% better fight than we got in the first one. But let's move on, man, to another topic, man. I don't know about this topic, but evidently you guys do. We said we want to talk about Dillashaw's comment on the Sanhagen fight. As most people might not know, should know if you're a true MMA fan, is Dillashaw versus Sanhagen is Dillashaw's welcome back from suspension fight. So I'm going to come to you on this one, Evan. What was this comment, and what is your thoughts? Enlighten me, educate me, learn me.
I mean, just to say,
go for it.
I don't know. I'm sure Evan knows, but I wrote that. So, Evan,
no,
do you know about some of the situation?
I have a feeling I do, but you go first, and then I'll add my comments next.
All right. So this is what I heard, right? So, and this is kind of crazy, because I didn't think that this was y'all might not be surprised, but I was kind of still surprised. So first of all, there was a fighter. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he tweeted. He was saying that there was people from Dillashaw's team or from his camp that were at Corey Sanhagen's training. They were at his whatever. I don't know who was where, but so basically Dillashaw, this fighter claimed that Dillashaw sent some of his guys to watch Sanhagen train, kind of like to spy on Sanhagen. So I heard that. So that was the first thing. And then the second thing was Dillashaw came up with an interview 2 days ago. So on Tuesday, I watched it. He did an interview with Brett Okamoto, and Okamoto was asking him about the fight. And he was saying that, you know, he was like, I have a lot of respect for Corey Sanhagen. You know, we've been friends. You know, I kind of – he more or less said that he kind of fathered him into the game, basically. He more or less said he ushered him into the game pretty much. He was like, you know, on his way up, you know, I was a guy that, you know, he used to call and ask me, like, you know, how he could approach, you know, certain big fights that he was going into, like leading up into his career and even before he was in the UFC. You know, I was a guy he would call for, you know, advice on upcoming fights and how to approach certain fights. So, you know, Dillashaw was saying a lot of that stuff about, you know, in regards to his relationship with Sanhagen. But, you know, it sounded like he was very confident about him winning the fight. He didn't say – I don't think they went into how he – I don't think he predicted how he would win. But he did sound – he sounds like in his mind he's on a fast track to the belt, and that it almost seems like he was kind of dismissive of the Sanhagen fight. It seemed like his mind was already past it, and he was like, you know, he was like, I'm going to get my belt back. And I'm going to be the champion again. He was like, if it wasn't for, you know, that, you know, once in a lifetime kind of ending to the Jan Sterling title fight, I'm very confident that he said he was very confident that if it wasn't for that DQ ending, that he would have been fighting Piotr Jan in this upcoming fight and not Corey Sanhagen. But he still thinks that that fight happens down the line.
Spygate 2, huh? Being that you from Boston, you know, Spygate 2. You know, I had to get that in there, a little shot, but
appreciate that.
If he did that, if he got spies on his camp, man, that's so like, man, that's I don't even know how you characterize that, because you know everybody's looking to get some kind of advantage or whatever, but to be spying on somebody's camp, to me that's just low, and that's just unprofessional. And it shows me that he's worried about this fight, that he needs every little advantage he can get to win this fight. So at least in my opinion, he's giving Sanhagen some respect if he's doing that. Evan, what's your thoughts, man?
Yeah, no. If he's got a spy in Corey's camp, it's because he's nervous, and he will never admit that. But that's obviously the point. You don't put a spy in unless you're nervous, because he's supposed to be greatest bantamweight of all time and all this blah blah blah. But no, I'm sorry. I was such a big fan of TJ. I really was. I watched his, you know, his training videos on YouTube. I was such a big fan, and then just the EPO. But then, like, you know, we can move on past that. Like, we can move on the cheating, the clear cheating. But then how he handles it, like how he talks like he deserves to be in the title fight because he didn't lose the belt. He had to relinquish it. Yeah, you had to relinquish it because you cheated, Noodle. Like, I just – it's disgusting. I couldn't care less for him to come back to the sport. I'm honestly done with him, but – now the whole spy thing, it's pathetic if true, and I hope Corey knocks him stiff and we see Corey fight for the belt after Jan and Sterling rematch, because that's a big rematch that needs to happen. But yeah,
so
I think
so, guys.
Go ahead, Keith.
Hold that thought. 1 second. So while you were talking, I just rushed through my phone and tried to find it in my photos because I remember I screenshotted it, that fighter, the second that I saw it. I screenshotted a lot of things. And wouldn't you have it that I found it. And that split second Evan was talking, I found the file of the tweet. I have it. It's Justin Wetzel, who I'm pretty sure is in one of their on one of their fight teams. I want to say maybe he's a former alpha male guy or something like that. Justin Wetzel, I'm pretty sure I wrote an article on him not that long ago. But I have the tweet right here. I'll read it to you guys, and I also just posted it to you guys in the group chat so you can look at that. But so it says, Justin Wetzel says, hashtag desperate TJ has spies coming to record and watch Sanhagen spar. Two of Dwayne Ludwig's students, in parentheses, never seen them before, came to Elevation fight team sparring and pulled out the phone when his round started. Then the morons went to Instagram and bragged about it on their story. Hashtag snake in the grass.
All right, man.
I had to pull out the official file because I know you wouldn't you would believe me, but you needed to hear the official take. So I had to pull it out.
If this is true, I think Dillashaw should be fine. I think his camp should be fine. This is like I said, I want to say last week or maybe 2 weeks ago when I heard about this fight, because I am a TJ fan. I always like TJ. I believe in second chances, sometimes third chance, sometimes fourth chance, depending on your situation. But I always like TJ, and I love Corey Sanhagen. I've been driving his hype train for a while. So I'm very interested in this fight. I think whoever wins this fight does get the winner of Jan versus Sterling. This shows me that Dillashaw has doubts in him about taking this Sanhagen fight. Because technically, only thing he has to do is pull up tape of Sanhagen's fights. You know, if he pulled tape of Sanhagen's fights, his boxing is always the same. He fights kind of like a Floyd Mayweather style with shoulder rolls, a lot of feints, a lot of jabs. But one thing we have seen about Sanhagen is he may have to work on his ground game. TJ really isn't that big of a wrestler, but he do have some takedowns in his arsenal. But I'm just real disappointed right now in Dillashaw's camp, man. For you to be coming off suspension and pulling a stunt like this, it just doesn't sit well with me. And hopefully the UFC does their due diligence as far as investigating this. And if it's found that he and his camp did this, they should find him. And they should find him before the fight. Not after the fight. Find him before the fight. I think that carries more weight because, as we know, Dillashaw's been suspended. Probably doesn't have any income coming in. So I will find him before the fight. But look, this came out the other day. And when one of you guys put it on our group chat, I almost fell out when I saw it. Evan, I'll come to you first on this. The other day, it was announced that at UFC 261, the co-main event will be Leon Edwards taking on Nate Diaz in a five-round co-main event. What were your thoughts, Evan, when you saw this? And what do you think about the fight?
Initially, I was genuinely shocked because it was the last fight I expected to see. But number one, it's a win-win for the UFC because it keeps Leon active and it allows him to show off his skill set to prove that he belongs in the top five. Plus, if he beats Diaz, then he just, you know, he gains the Diaz fans. Well, they're too loyal, just like Conor fans. Besides, but now you can send Leon to the prelims and kick him out of the rankings. And now Nate has a win, over a top-ranked guy, and now you can put him somewhere into the title picture, which he wouldn't win. But regardless of all the, you know, the politics and whatnot, it's an interesting fight. You know, I think Leon dominates him, but that's just kind of – I think that's obvious because, you know, Nate being a guy who's fought at 55, I don't know if he could still make 55. I just don't – I think Leon is just a bigger dude. I don't think he could ever make 155 in his life. I think the power is going to be different. The size
will be
different.
But they're not fighting at 155, though, are they? Ain't they fighting at 170?
No, no. That's what I'm saying. They're fighting at 170, but I'm saying,
okay,
like,
okay, I got you.
You know, you get it. Like, but regardless, it's the fight. But before I push it to Keys, the five-round co-main event, that is the most important thing to me. The UFC needs more five-round co-main events that are not title fights. Biggest example was Robert Whittaker versus Jared Cannonier. That should have been five rounds, and you want to know why? Because Jared Cannonier could have finished Robert Whittaker in that fourth round because he hurt him in the third round, and if there was two more rounds, he could have stole that fight, and we could have saw him and Izzy fight because that would have been a guaranteed title shot for Jared. And that's not taken away from Whittaker. He deserves it. He dominated Jared. He, from bell to bell, he was whooping him, but last minute, Jared found something. And in that moment, that's where I think we need five-round co-main events because of how much was on the line. Because now where's Jared? We haven't seen him since that fight. So those are my thoughts. Cool fight. That card is back, but that's a great co-main event. Thank you for coming to me.
I'm going to push back a little bit on the Jared Cannonier story. He did catch Whittaker. Yes, he did. But at the same time, Cannonier had never really fought in a five-round fight. So was his cardio going to hang? Was his cardio going to be good to get to the fifth round? Or would he have to end it in the fourth round? So we really don't know. But, you know, we're going to go to Keys now. Keys, when you saw the announcement of Leon Edwards versus Nate Diaz, what were your thoughts and what's your thoughts on the fight?
I was blown away. I was absolutely blown away by that. I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought I was hallucinating seeing that come up on my phone. I thought I was hallucinating, y'all. I'm telling you. Like, man, I saw the but yeah, so the Nate Diaz and Leon, that was just, yeah, I thought I was hallucinating, man. You know, I mixed the medication with the alcohol, and it was a bad mixture. I think I was early on one when I saw that, but yeah, it was really, I was feeling loopy. But the fight itself is a great fight. You know, that's an unbelievable fight. And you know, as far as the division, it's completely random fight. You know, for Nate Diaz, it was probably the last person I pictured that would come out and fight Leon Edwards. But if you go back and watch the game tape, I'm pretty sure, it's more than likely one of us predicted that, you know, in the last couple months, even though I don't remember it, probably wasn't me, but one of us probably predicted that in the last couple months because that's how we do. So it's a great fight, and I expect Leon Edwards to win. I expect him to win big time. And, you know, I think the UFC knows that either which way it goes, they have good business in the matchmaking that they could make. You know, on the A side, you know, if you expect Usman and Edwards to win, you have that rematch you could do. And then on the B side, if you were to have Masvidal and Diaz winning, you could do that rematch. You know, and both of them, you could potentially do that both for the belt. So I think the UFC knows that either which way you flip the coin, you have, you know, big fights. So makes sense.
I'm a Nate fan to the detriment. I don't like the way Evan just, you know, lumped me in with the Nate fans, you know, the fanatics. I'm not a fanatic. I'm a fan. Big difference. But I think if Nate's win this fight and if Masvidal win his fight, there's no way Nate should get a title shot. I know that on the business side, the UFC will probably make that fight because a lot of people feel, you know, Nate was actually finding his groove when the referee stopped the fight. But if you really watch that fight, Masvidal was teeing off on him, and I just don't see Nate probably finishing that fight. So I was shocked when I saw the announcement when one of you put it on our group chat. I was shocked, and I was thoroughly happy. I was happy for Nate that he was getting a top five guy, and I was happy for Edwards that he was getting a fighter commensurate to where he's trying to go. And what I mean by that is Edwards is trying to get to a title shot. Fighting Bilal Muhammad was not going to get him to a title shot. But fighting and beating and possibly dominating a Nate Diaz, a name in the game, would get him closer to the title. I'm going to go different from you guys. I think Nate wins this fight, bro. I think Nate takes Edwards down, and he makes Edwards fights off his back, and it's something we haven't seen from Edwards. And we all know that if Nate takes you down, his mat game is top-notch. So right now, if I had to pick the fight right now, I'm leaning towards picking Nate. But we got time, and I'm just happy that the UFC made this fight. Nate has a lot to gain. I think Edwards has a lot to gain. And when both fighters have something to gain, to me, it makes for a great fight, and I'm glad to see that they're doing this. But like I said, I wasn't hallucinating, but I was definitely happy and shocked at the same time. But look, man, we got some – I want to say some bad news, but there's some happy news to report. Darren Till had to pull out of his fight against Vettori. But our man Kevin Holland has stepped in the fight in Till's place. This will be Kevin Holland's seventh fight in just over a year, or maybe within a year. Evan, I'm going to come to you, man. How do you feel about Kevin Holland stepping up, taking this fight? And who do you think wins this fight?
Well, I think we all got to thank Kevin Holland for saving this main event. You know, I don't know what the UFC would have done, you know, for that main event if Marvin didn't take the fight. Because, you know, that I just don't know who they're going to find last minute. You know, the last time something like that happened, the main event turned into Anthony Smith versus Devin Clark, and Anthony submitted him in the first round. It just, you know, you don't want stuff like that to happen. So I'm glad Kevin Holland stepped up. But to the fight, I like the fight. I think Kevin's going to come out super aggressive, probably get taken down a lot because, you know, Marvin Vettori's not going to mess around. He's going to probably go the Brunson route, and or maybe he'll knock out Kevin, and, you know, maybe he'll talk some crap to Brunson for that. But I think it's a fun fight. I'm excited for it. Keyes made a great point. I'm going to let him talk on. But, yeah, no, it's a good fight. I'm excited for it. I'm glad it's coming together. So, that's it for me.
What did I make a great point Keyes. About?
Nah, it was actually my point, but.
You said Keyes made a great point.
Yeah, but it was actually my point. He's talking about the point on our group chat today.
Yeah, he was predicting my point I was about to make in the future, so I appreciate that, Evan.
Evan can see in the future?
Yeah, Evan was predicting Keyes to make a good point. I think it's usually likely that I do.
No,
so
nah,
you're just doing probability,
nah,
Evan. It's understandable.
Hold
that's
up.
Good probability.
I'm going to correct myself. In our group chat, you know, I said that Holland was going to get strangled, and then Key said, happy with the matchup, even though Kevin shouldn't be fighting this seventh fight in 1 year. So then I said, I mean, if he can keep it up, why not? And then Lee texted, and I didn't realize that was Lee. I thought that was still Key. So that's my bad. But, yes, we're all geniuses.
Okay, so all right, so this the thing that's the thing with that is that Holland, I feel like it's I don't know about Holland in this fight. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be picking him in this fight because it's – I don't like the one-week thing. Like, I feel like Vettori looks so good versus Jack the Joker. He looks so good. He looks unbelievable. And you know, he's going to go in on a full camp thinking he was supposed to fight Darren Till. And it's really the same style of fighter. I mean, I know they're different, but I'm pretty sure Kevin Holland is a kickboxer as well. So where Till is from a kickboxing background. So with that being said, you know, Vettori has been training for this style of fighter, but he's been training for it for months. And Holland is only going to train for a week. Like, I don't know. I'm glad he's stepping in, but I don't really have high hopes for him to win, to be honest. And it's going to be too many fights. You know, he cut weight, he trained, he probably didn't have much time in between. You know, he's traveling all over the place and putting a lot on his body. You know, I'm glad this we're saving the fight, but I at what cost, you know?
I'm with Keys, man. Like we talked about on our group chat, man, I think 7 fights in a year is a lot. You don't give your body time enough to recover. Plus, you're not working on the things that the holes in your game. And when we saw him fight Derek Brunson, there are holes in his game that he needs to work on. And I thought that maybe he would take some time off, you know, go back to the drawing board, work on his takedown defense. And if once you get taken down, work on getting back to your feet, you know, stuff like that. But then when I saw that he was lobbying to take this fight, I just thought it was a big mistake. I want to say that all the advantages go to Vettori in this fight. He's the hotter fighter coming in. And like Key said, Till and Holland kind of sort of have the same game, except Holland has more power in his hands than I think Till does. But, you know, it's hats off to Holland for jumping in there on short notice, you know, going back in there, saving the event. But at the same time is, you know, you have to take your body and what you got going on into consideration sometimes. You got to let your body heal. You can't be in constant training mode all the time or your body is going to fail you. So that's the point I was making on our group chat. I might be proven wrong. He might prove me wrong, you know, especially if he wins. But I still do think he needs to let his body recover. And, Evan, I'll let you follow up on what I just said since you brought it up early.
What are you talking about? What did I bring up
earlier? About Kevin Holland letting his body heal and working on his game and this quick turnaround.
Oh, it's just like I'm thinking back to like the, you know, when Cowboy was just fighting every week, or like even Angela Hill, they were just fighting consistently. And I mean, because when you think about it, like that's the point, you know, let the body heal. But like if you look at Kevin Holland's fight that he went on that streak, he really didn't take a lot of damage in most of those fights. The most, and even in his most recent fight with Brunson, he didn't really take any damage. He just got taken down and a few ground and pound here and there. I mean, he probably, I'd love to look at the stats to see who had like the, you know, the strikes, who had more significant strikes. Obviously, probably Brunson, just because, whatever. But I don't know. I like quick turnarounds. I think it's good to stay active. It's good to keep the, you know, the fans interested in you, because too many of these fighters have like a big debut and then they take way too long to get back in there. And I think it's best for Kevin Holland to jump at this main event chance and steal the hype from Marvin. So we'll see, but let's keep it going.
So I'm gonna just push. Hey, Keys,
no,
let
ahead,
me jump
ahead,
in real
go
quick.
Ahead, go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Keys, you remember when me and you used to talk about Cowboy, how he used to always be fighting? And remember the point I made?
Yeah.
I was like, when he fights a lot, he looks good in the first fight. He might look good in the second fight. But that third fight, he's not looking so good. That fourth fight, he probably going to get knocked out. That fifth fight, definitely getting knocked out. That was when he was on one of his torrid paces, and I was like, nah, Cowboy, you can't keep doing that. And then once he would take a break and come back, he would look like Cowboy Cerrone. And I kept pointing that out. Even when we was doing our predictions, I was like, yeah, this is third fight in like, this third fight in like 6-7 months. Yeah, I don't think I'm picking him in this fight. And then the fourth fight, I'm definitely not picking him. So, and I think Cowboy and Angela Hill, I'll say Angela Hill for sure. You can't really use her as an example. I would lean more to using Cowboy Cerrone as the example I would use as far as when you start stringing too many fights together back to back to back. Go ahead, Keys.
Yeah, I think Cowboy needs to have a conversation with Holland. He needs to give him a couple tips about not fighting too much, bro. He's like, bro, you're not going to win too many of those. You fight 5 times a year, every year, you're not going to win. Your win average is not going to be that high. But, you know, my thing is, actually, you know, my thing is I wanted to switch up and see if you guys wanted to talk about the Ferguson fight announcement that we got. Have we talked about that fight yet?
Ferguson versus Beneil?
I don't think we talked about it.
I think me and you talked about it 2 weeks ago. But let's go.
Oh,
we can talk about it again. We can talk about it again. Hey, but before we talk about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
But before we talk about that, let's talk about this. Aldo, one of you guys sent me the screenshot on the group chat. Aldo versus Dominique Cruz. I'm going to come to you, Keys. What are your thoughts on this fight, man? This is very interesting fight, bro.
Yeah, I love that fight. I think if able, I'm not going to say no to it. You know what I mean? I'm not, that probably wasn't the fight I had in mind for Cruz, but, you know, he wasn't the first guy on my mind for Cruz, but once I saw the tweet and I saw how interested Aldo's team is in that fight and I thought about it, I was like, okay, like, you know what? This actually might be a great fight. You know, I might be sleeping on this a little bit. I might be sleeping on Aldo versus Cruz in 2021. This actually might be what we need. So, I mean, the two of them are kind of in similar places. You know, they're both kind of in the background contenders in 135 division. Both big names, both been champions. And I like where Aldo's team. I like what they were saying. I know they make some good points, and I actually love that fight. I think Cruz look incredible versus Casey Kenny. I don't remember Aldo's last fight, to be honest, but I think both of those guys would turn up for that one. That's like a legacy fight right there. I like that one a lot.
Man, I'm going to jump in real quick, Evan, then I'm going to come to you to finish it up. I like the word you use, Keys. I like the word you use. This is not a super fight. This is a legacy fight. I like the word legacy. Both them guys came over from WEC as champions. Both of them came to UFC, became champions. Both of them are definitely wily vets. Aldo, you know, probably his best days are behind him. Dominique has been hurt a lot. But when you guys sent me this on our group chat, on our group text, I started smiling. I was like, this fight makes sense. You ain't just throwing two old guys in there just to be throwing them in there. This fight actually makes sense. You got the former 145 WEC champ taking on the 135 WEC champ. I like it. Whether or not Aldo can hang with Cruz, head movement, foot movement, his crazy style, that's yet to be seen, because Aldo has got rid of what made him the fighter he was, his devastating leg kicks. So I like this fight, man, and I like the word you use, Keys. This is a great legacy fight, and hopefully it will be a main event. If not a main event, it'll be a co-main event on a big card. All right, Evan, what's your thoughts on it, bro?
Honestly, I agree with your opinion solely, and same with Keys. It's a perfect legacy fight. You know, they're the best of the division. You know, one-time great champions, arguably the best champions of their said divisions. I'm all for it. If that's the fight they want to make, by all means, it can definitely be a main event. I would vote to not have it as a main event, just because I think for Aldo to have his best performance, you know, in this stage of his career, should not be done. Yeah, don't make him go five rounds anymore. It's just not worth it. You know, his fight against Chito was good. He actually put the whooping on Chito. His fight against Marlon Moraes was good, three rounds. And his fight against Piotr Jan was good in the beginning, but those later rounds got up to him, and that's when Piotr took advantage. So for his sake, keep him three rounds. And now I'd love to see it. Quick note, if they don't make that fight, and, you know, there have been talks of doing O'Malley versus Cruz, I'd love to see that too. Just throwing it out there.
Wow. Wow. If I had to choose, I'd rather see O'Malley versus Cruz. If I had to choose, man. But do I think O'Malley ready for a seasoned veteran like Dominique Cruz? I don't think so. But would I be interested and would I watch it with great anticipation? Yes. What about you, O'Malley versus Cruz, Keys?
Yeah, one of my boys brought that one to me. I'm not really a fan of that fight. I mean, obviously, the two guys, I'm a fan of O'Malley and Cruz. But my thing is with that is I'm just not really a fan of that fight for Cruz. I think the fight, it kind of does a lot more for O'Malley than it really does for Cruz. And I just also don't feel like – that's just, if I'm cruising team, like, that's not the fight that I go for, because it's really, like, if you, like, wanting him to just get in there, like, he just finally got a win back, you know what I'm saying? I don't think we should jump into a Sean O'Malley fight. Like, I don't think that's the way to go. Like, I think get him another fight, you know what I mean, and then maybe you take O'Malley, like, in a couple fights, but I don't think that's the way to go right now, because, you know, especially where he came out the gate off, like, a five-year layoff and his team or him, they motioned to fight the champion right away. You know, that was a bad move in the first place. So let's not get crazy the second that we get a win, okay? We got a split decision win. Let's not fly off the handle now. You know what I mean? I think take it slow, you know, and take some fights. And Sean O'Malley, let him do his thing. And I don't think that's a good fight for Cruz at this time.
Man, now that you bring it up like that, I'm excited, but it's a good point. I think you have to slow roll O'Malley, man, because you saw what happened to him. Well, he got hurt in that fight too, but I still thought he was getting pieced up in that fight against Cheeto, against Marlon Vera. But hey, man. Either which way they go with Dominique Cruz, I think you can't go wrong. But I think if O'Malley loses to Dominique Cruz, you might have a Yair Rodriguez situation when they put him against Frankie Edgar. Then you have to build him back up. And you really don't want to have to build him up after you just basically gave him a win against Almeida after he lost against Vera. So I think they feed O'Malley probably another lackluster opponent, and then probably get him a fringe top 10 guy in his possibly next fight before they go full out and get him a top 5 guy. So But I'm with you guys. I think I definitely with Evan. Well, if you do Aldo versus Cruz, make it a 3-round fight. Don't make it a 5-round fight. I think you'll get the best out of Aldo in 3 rounds compared to Aldo going 5 rounds. So, hey, that was a great point, Evan. Great point.
Thank you.
Well, we got about 9 minutes left, man. Let's talk about
top of the John Jones stuff. You already touched on that?
All right.
You did already touch on that
great,
a little bit.
That's a great way to end the show. We'll talk about John Jones. Like I said earlier, I have written at least 3 or 4 articles on John Jones. I am a big John Jones fan. I wrote an article on John Jones called Character versus something about his character. I can't remember the name of it. You know, John hasn't had the greatest out-of-the-ring character. Talent versus character, that's what I call it. He's a talented fighter, but his character is sometimes lacking. This week, it came out that John Jones is once again at war with the UFC over how much he should get paid for his fight against Francis Ngannou. Me and Keith talked about this when Conor fought Floyd Mayweather. UFC fighters, please start looking at boxing as a way of gauging how much you should get paid. A UFC fighter would never make as much as a boxer. Although your sport is more violent than boxing, you will never make as much money as boxers do. Boxing, I don't know how they pull it off, but their fighters get paid, bro. Conor made $100 million fighting Floyd Mayweather. And Conor actually held his own for probably the first half of the fight. I think I had him winning like 4 of the first 6 rounds. But UFC fighters, you got to pinch yourself and wake up. You will never make boxer money. If you can make more than $1 million, $2 million, $3 million a fight, sign your name on the contract and keep it pushing. Like I said in our group chat, and I'm going to use my boy Key's voice, what are we really talking about here? You really don't make any sense. You really don't make any sense thinking that you're going to make Deontay Wilder's money. You are not going to make that money. If you want to make that money, leave the UFC, get into boxing. So I don't want to say, I don't want to go as far as say he's scared of Ngannou. That's why he's like making it about the money. But like I said earlier, you will never get the back pay you deserve for all your past performances. Only thing they're going to do is pay you for the here and now. Keys, what's your thoughts, bro?
So my thing is this, is that, you know, they, first of all, I don't think he's scared at all. I don't think that's the thing. I mean, I don't believe he's scared of the fight. That's not where I'm going with it at all. I mean, I think he just, to me, he's an arrogant guy. You know, he's an arrogant guy, and he, you know, he wants to, he feels entitled to, you know, whatever, $20 million or $30 million, whatever amount that it is, because he hasn't really came out and said what his number is. So, I mean, it's at least not public, so I don't know. But clearly he feels entitled to whatever that number is. And, you know, I want everybody to get paid too, but I just think we need to look at it and say, is this really realistic for the UFC? Is it really realistic? And the answer is no. It's not realistic, because the biggest payday that we have seen that I know of reportedly was Habib's purse versus Gaethje was reportedly $6 million to fight Gaethje. So that is the biggest payday that I've heard of so far. And I also heard that Jones talked to one of the UFC's lawyers. Well, he came out and said he talked to one of the UFC's lawyers and that they were talking about somewhere between $6 and $8 million to offer him to fight Ngannou. Okay, so that is more than that is already a couple million more than no, it was $8 to $10 million. I'm pretty sure, not $6 to $8 million. It was $8 to $10 million. I'm sorry. So that is already more than the largest payday that's ever happened for a fighter in the UFC. So that's a couple million more, and Jones is saying that number is quote unquote way too low. So honestly, I don't know. I think I don't know what to say about that. I think he's going to price himself out of the fight, and we likely won't see it because I just don't see the UFC like forking over, you know, $30 million to a fighter. Because if they do that to him, I feel like that's a bad thing for everybody else. Because then other fighters are going to start expecting to be able to vouch for those kind of paydays too. And I don't think the UFC wants to put themselves in that kind of position. And I just don't see Dana going for it. So I think he's going to price himself out of the fight. I don't think he's scared by it. I think he feels entitled to that bag. But I don't think he's going to get it. And because of that, I don't think we'll even see the fight this year. And at least not at this time. I don't think we'll see it.
Man, I totally agree with everything you said, Keys. I really, really, really totally agree with everything you said. And I didn't know Khabib made $6 million for a fight. Especially with his style. He doesn't have the most electrifying style, but what he does finish fights. If we go back and look at his last three title defenses, they have all ended in finishes. John Jones, you go back and look at his last three title defenses. Some people felt he should have lost to Santos. Some people felt that he could have did more to beat the guy that lost.
Reyes.
I can't think of it. Reyes, yeah. So, you know, there are some things that I kind of sort of side with Jones on, but this isn't one of them. And I think he needs to wake up and realize that he's not a boxer and UFC guys will never make boxers money. And before I come to you, Evan, to finish this off, there was something that I want to say Keys or Evan, y'all sent in our group text. People, when y'all listen to y'all to our show, our group text is wave. Our group text is live. I normally have at least about 5 or 6 texts waiting on me when I'm waking my eyes up because Evan and Keys are 2 hours ahead of me. But, you know, the guy that tweeted that if John want to complain about the money, where is he at on unionization? And I have basically have written about this. And my thing is, if you aren't for union, then you are independent contractor. We only got like a minute left. Go ahead, Evan. What's your thoughts of John on this money grab?
I think you sent us in the group chat. It was the pay-per-view buys for Connor, Brock Lesnar, and Ronda. They all sold over 1 million pay-per-view buys for multiple pay-per-views. John has never done that. And I'm sorry, you can't ask for a certain amount of money or a specific amount of money that a certain other person makes when you cannot match the numbers that they do. If the UFC wants to give him his money, give him his money if they really want that fight. If they don't want that fight, if it doesn't mean that much to them, then by all means, I'm cool with keeping the division moving. I don't really care for quote-unquote super fights anymore. But that's it for me.
All right, man. Well, we're right at the 9 o'clock mark. I know we got things to do tonight. Any last words, Keys?
No. I think I'm good. There's no event this weekend, so I'll just be chilling. I got the apartment all set up now, kind of to a comfortable point. So I'm just enjoying myself, and that's the message I have for y'all. Is everybody just enjoy yourself. You know, just be enjoying yourself. Enjoy life.
All right. I like that. What about you, Evan? Any last words?
No, man, basically the same thing. You know, just take care of yourself. Always take care of your mental health. Always, you know, make sure you're all right, and just you know, stay safe, keep living life, and that's it, man. Just I don't know, find happiness. That's all. That's it.
Hey, man. My last words, real quick. Like I've been ending every show, positive people, positive energy, positive results. As long as you live by that, you'll be good. Hey, the rear view mirror, when you're looking at it, look at it as the past. When you're looking towards the future, put your foot on that gas pedal, push it through the flow. Let's go. Lee Keys and Evan signing off. Everybody have a great night. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Wear your mask. Social distance. We out. Peace.